We're going to hear from God's Word in Scripture now. And over the next few weeks, sort of through July and the first bit of August, we're going to be looking at the second letter of Peter. Peter was a very close friend of Jesus, and towards the end of his life, he wrote this letter. And we are very privileged that it has been preserved for us across the centuries. So we're going to read it in church over the next few weeks. And we're going to try and see how it speaks to us today. So let's hear from 2 Peter chapter 1.
This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to all of you who share the same precious faith we have, faith given to us by Jesus Christ, by our God and Saviour, who makes us right with God. May God bless you with his special favour and wonderful peace as you come to know Jesus, our God and Lord, better and better. As we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness, and by that same mighty power, he has given us all his rich and wonderful promises. He has promised that you will escape the decadence all around you caused by evil desires, and that you will share in his divine nature. So make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance, and patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads to love for other Christians. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop these virtues are blind, or at least very short-sighted. They have already forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old life of sin. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Doing this, you will never stumble or fall away, and God will open wide the gates of heaven for you to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Great, thank you. I once read the autobiography of a very famous piano player, and he told the story of how when he was younger than people would normally start piano lessons, he nagged his parents into paying for piano lessons for him. Later on in life, he realized the sacrifices that they had made so that that could happen. He nagged his parents so much that they went to the piano teacher, who agreed that she would take this boy for piano lessons even though he was younger than she normally took. He sits down on the piano stool for the first lesson. She gives him one or two exercises to do. And after a few minutes of this, this little boy announces that he is bored. That this is not what he wants to do. He doesn't want to play this stuff. He wants to play proper music. At which point, the piano teacher said, right, off the stool. And the piano teacher sat down upon the stool and started to play. And started to make the most incredible sounds that this boy had ever heard. And he listened to what this teacher was playing, and he was just, wow, this is incredible. The piano teacher gets off the stool and says to him, if you do what I tell you to do, I can teach you to play like that. This little boy never questioned that piano teacher again. Everything that she told him to do, he did, because he saw the inspiration of what he could one day be. And he had confidence that this lady was able to teach him incredible things that he could hardly ever imagine. In fact, he stayed with that teacher all the way until he went into music college, and just speaks of the incredible debt that he has to her. The name of that man was Rick Wakeman, who became a... Well, I don't, if I have to explain why he's famous, he's not as famous as I think he is. But he became an utterly renowned keyboard player because of that woman who at age 5 just grabbed his imagination. Our scripture reading today tells us that God's power through Jesus has given us everything that we need so that we can live a godly life. When it says a godly life, it means a life of real devotion to God. And just as this boy looked at this piano teacher and thought, wow, if she can teach me to do that, I will do anything that she says. So we are to look at Jesus and we are to say, if he can teach me that, if he can teach me to live like he lives, then I'll do anything for him. We come to Jesus by faith. So who is this Jesus that we're talking about? Well, here he is given several titles. First of all, he is described as our God. One of the very rare times in Scripture that he is described that way. Of course, Thomas, after the resurrection, said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. He is our God. He is the one that we bow down before. He is the one that we stand before in absolute amazement. He is our Lord. He is the one that God has given authority over all the universe. He is our Savior, the one who died for us and rose again for us so that he could rescue us. He is the one who has escaped the corruption and decay there is in this world because his body was raised out of the tomb and resurrected forever. We look at this amazing man, Jesus, and we say, if he can teach me to be like that, then I will learn from him. And he calls us to have faith in him, as we've already said in the service. This reading describes the faith that we have in him as being very precious indeed. It's a faith that we got from him. And it is faith that comes to us from God's own glory and God's own goodness. God calling us to enter his goodness, to be part of his goodness, to live in his goodness. This is the one who is calling us. We come here today to talk about what it means to have faith. We are having faith in somebody we hold in utter awe and utter reverence. But we want to be giants of faith. We want to be people who make an impact on the world because of faith. We want to be a church that has impact because of our faith. We were watching that video from Catherine, who's gone round by faith to the other side of the world, believing that God has called her to make a difference there. But each one of us is called to live the life that God has for us. And it says in our reading today that through God's power, we have everything we need. You know, sometimes when we talk about living the Christian life, people say it's not realistic, it can't be done. But Peter, this close friend of Jesus, this man who walked with Jesus and worked for Jesus for several years, this man who was there when Jesus was crucified, this man who met Jesus after Jesus rose from the dead, says, it is possible. The resources for us to be right with God. and his servants in the world are there for us. We have been given everything that we need to share in the divine nature. That's what the passage actually says. We have been given everything that we need so that we can be like God. And we look forward. You know, sometimes when people talk about faith, they'll say something like this. They'll say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and faith is the most important thing. And because I have faith in Jesus, I know I'm going to go to heaven. And because I have faith in Jesus, that's what matters. Yes, faith is what matters. Faith is how we grab hope of God. But, you know, in the new version of the Bible that we've got, the latest version of that translation, they've really hit the last verse of our reading well today. They don't talk just about entering the kingdom of God. They talk about having a grand entrance into the kingdom of God. Peter's saying, you know, if you grasp this faith that God is giving to you, if we put it into practice, we act on it fully, it's not just going to be a case of me saying, and you saying, well, yeah, Lord, I believe in you. I believe that you died for me. It's going to be the Lord saying, welcome, come on in. Congratulations. Have a grand entrance into my kingdom. Or as the New International Version says, there will be a rich welcome into the kingdom of God. As God says, you're my children, and I'm well pleased with you. Faith is not just a matter of faith. Faith is the starting point. Faith is where we begin to grab hold of who God is and what he wants from us. And in our reading today, there's a series of stepping stones which are about how we start with faith and we learn how to lead the life that God wants us to live. Just like the little boy learning to play the piano. I remember my first piano lesson just about, I think. And I remember there were these things, and they called them five-finger exercises. Has anybody else suffered the five-finger exercises? Yeah, Dave knows what I'm talking about here. Da, 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 yeah. And of course, as you play these things, that's not what you want to play. I just wish at that moment I'd had Rick Wakeman's teacher. I mean, the teacher I had was fine, but I wish I'd had that inspiration at that moment. But you learn these basic things, and then you learn that, and then you advance to other things called scales. And it's the same thing in learning anything, whether you're learning to play football or even learning to tell the time. You start basic and you move on and it gets more complicated and you get better and better. So here's what Peter is saying to us. You have faith, you believe, that's fantastic, that is great. That is so utterly precious and valuable. Know how much God values that. But there are five-finger exercises to do. There are scales to learn. If you want to be like Jesus in the world, it's a training course. There's stuff to do. So Peter gives us a starting point of faith, and he says, make every effort. Note that, make every effort to add some things to your faith. Put your back into this. Give it some welly. Give it some energy. You won't grow in your faith by sitting around and doing nothing any more than you can grow in playing the piano by just looking at the piano. You've got to do those exercises. You've got to let the muscles be strengthened. You've got to learn where the fingers should go. So Peter says, add to your faith goodness. Okay, you believe in Jesus today? You've got faith in him, fantastic. Do some good things. Think, wait a minute, you know, is that all? No, it's not all. But it's the first thing that Peter tells us to add to our faith. Do some good stuff. There's lots of good things in the world that we can do. There are lots of opportunities to serve him. Some of them are organized. Help with food bank. Later on in the year, volunteer for the night shelter. Help with, there's 101 things that we could help with or do. Try to be good in the way that you relate to your family. Try to be good in the way that you relate to your friends. Just take some definite steps in that direction. What can I do that is actually about doing something good? Now, this matters because God is good. This matters because God calls us by his power and his goodness. It matters because it's him that we are seeking to be like. So in the same way as the person in that first piano lesson is just trying to do something that's a little bit like the teacher, so we are trying to do something that's a little bit like God. We don't think for one minute we've come the whole journey, but we're seeking to do it. Can I put in a big plug that doing good things really does matter? It's sad that we live in a society that sometimes uses the word do-gooder as an insult, and I think we know why that can happen. But there is no replacement for simple acts of goodness. The next thing that Peter says we are to make every effort to add to our faith is knowledge. We need to be learning what God wants to teach us. There's no substitute for sitting down and reading the Gospels. There's no substitute for sitting down and actually reading or listening, if you prefer, listen to it on a recording, but doing something to actually increase our knowledge of Jesus. And as we seek to learn that knowledge, not just knowledge in the head, but knowledge and experience as well. You know, sometimes Christians get excited about all sorts of different books, but there are four books that we really ought to get excited about, and they are called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are where we learn about Jesus. Make effort to find out more about Jesus. Learn it. Study it. In the same way, I guess, that the musician has to learn a bit of theory if they are to play well. You have to learn the difference between a major and a minor chord. You have to learn the difference between the various sort of scales and time signatures and things like that. Except we're looking to Jesus. And as we look to Jesus and we see his glory, and as we see his goodness and we say, I want to be like him. And Peter is saying to us, you can do it. That's what I love about that story of the piano teacher. That the piano teacher actually says, if you follow what I'm saying, I can teach you to be like that. Not today, not tomorrow, not in a month's time, but through solid training, I can teach you. So Peter's saying to these people, don't aim low. Do some good things. Get some more knowledge. What does he say next? Oh, self-control, he talks about. Yeah, you pretty soon discover, as a Christian, that self-control is important. We pretty soon discover that as we get passionate for God, that things make us angry and we can act in ways that are wrong. We pretty soon discover that it's easy to get tired and think, I can't be bothered with this anymore. But keep going. Self-control is part of the fruit of God's Spirit being within us. So he said, right, you know, when you need self-control, and you're going to need it, when you need self-control, make every effort to do it. Make the effort to catch yourself before you do something that you shouldn't do. And if there's anything in us, any addictive tendencies, then these are things that need to be dealt with. These things aren't easy. They're not simple. It's not simple to follow Jesus any more than it's simple to learn a musical instrument or to learn football. We're talking about training here. That takes a long time. So forgive me if I'm banging on too much about music. I must have it on the brain today. But you know, some people are hesitant to like come on the stage and play music because they're worried they're going to play a wrong note. Believe me, we all play a load of wrong notes. We all got it wrong sometimes. If we're worried about playing wrong notes, we'll never play. And if we're worried about playing wrong notes in our Christian discipleship, in this journey of faith, we'll never get moving. Peter says, put in the effort. Make it happen. The next thing he says, add perseverance. Yeah, well, once you've been going for a while, you need perseverance. We need that grit that says, I will keep moving. When you are learning any skill, you reach a point with that skill where you think, I just can't do this. It's my privilege yesterday to be with a group of people who had just completed a Couch to 5K course. Let's get off piano for a while. They'd completed Couch to 5K. Yesterday, they did a 5K together. And it was so exciting. And people were saying, I thought it was impossible. I thought I couldn't do this. But with the encouragement of people, and for getting alongside them and saying, yes, you can, they discovered that they could. And we find in our Christian growth and in our Christian discipleship that we can grow. Yes, it's great to be part of a church. It's great to be a part of a team who are getting alongside you and saying, yes, you can. It's great to have people alongside us that when we think, I can't, say, wait a minute, don't you remember what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1? That God's divine power, Christ's divine power, has given us everything that we need for a godly life. The next thing that Peter tells us to add is, in most translations, it's translated godliness. It could also be translated as devotion. It's this sense of just this sense of reverence towards God. This sense that He is what really matters to us. This sense that He is the one that we are to be like. And perhaps sometimes the further we go down the path, the further we realize how much more we have to learn. And perhaps our first ideas of what meant for a devout life aren't actually what we end up with in the end. He then says, add mutual affection. Get on with really loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. What we do with each other is the training ground for our discipleship. We learn to love each other. We learn to forgive one another. We learn to accept one another. We learn to do all the things that the Bible says we are to do for one another. And then he says, the final thing that we add is love. And love, this amazing idea of love that there is in the Bible, the sort of love that is love for enemies, the sort of love that is like the love of God, the sort of love that we can only really define by saying it's like Jesus. That's where we're heading. We don't get to that standard of love quickly. It's something we're always striving towards. But it's there and we can do it. So there's kind of two points to make at the end of the service today. One is the everything we need point. It's what it says. No excuses. We have what we need to be able to do this. The second one, make every effort. Peter says, I'm calling you into this. And as we go through the letter, we will see why he says this to them. We'll get to some more concrete examples. But for this morning, let's trust God. And perhaps today, if you feel bold enough, to pray to God and say to him, Lord, if it says in your word that if I do these things, if I don't forget, because Peter says if you forget these things, it's like you're blind. If I want to do these things so that I will get a rich welcome into your kingdom. I love that idea. I think it's a fantastic place to be, where we're saying, Lord, I just want you to fling your arms around me and to say, welcome and well done. Let's pray together. Perhaps this morning, whatever faith we have in God, and you may feel you've got loads, you may feel you've got very little, the thing to do this morning is to offer that to God. And remember, God always calls faith precious. And perhaps if you struggle to believe that God has everything that you need, then tell him that as well, because it's always better to have the honest conversation with God than the polite one. And perhaps today, as we've been thinking about God's word, we've been hearing those words, make every effort. And you know that there are ways that you need to make effort today. Whatever it is that you need to add to your faith, whether it's goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, or love. Talk to the Lord about the effort that you need to make. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.